Good morning, Turks and Caicos. Welcome to another segment of Career Connection powered by Flow. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, and in the studio with me this morning is the Managing Director, Mr. Wilbert Mason of Ocean Club Resorts. Today, we'll be discussing retaining top talent, so get your cup of coffee, grab a seat, as we take you on a journey to look at an area you might have overlooked. But before we get into today's discussion, we will pause to hear a word from our esteemed sponsor, Flow.
Flow helps you stay connected to what matters. Simple plans and a better network mean that you can enjoy 30 days of unlimited social messaging, 10 gigabytes of reliable data to use as you like, and 1,000 local anywhere calls and texts. With the always-on prepaid plan, all for $80, with Turks and Caicos' most reliable LTE network. With Flow, it only gets better.
Welcome back to today's program. If you're just joining me, I'm your host, Melanie Smith, career coach and talent consulting. And you're listening to Career Connection, where we deliver powerful yet practical tips to empower, encourage, and enlighten students, career professionals, and graduates to find clarity, confidence, and connection for the world of work. We do this through interviewing career life and business experts and give advice on how to explore career options to help you grow and prosper and close opportunity gaps with employment by connecting talent with opportunity one hire at a time. In the studio with me this morning is Managing Director Mr. Wilbert Mason of Ocean Club Resorts, and today we'll be discussing retaining top talent. So happy to have you joining us this morning, Mr. Mason.
It's my pleasure to be here this morning.
Wonderful, wonderful. I will share a brief synopsis of Mr. Mason, and shortly after, we will hear from him with his introduction. Wilbert Mason, a certified hospitality administrator, he holds a master's certificate in revenue management, food and beverage management, and business administration from Regis University, as well as a bachelor of science in business management and hospitality from Utah Valley University. He also holds a certificate in digital marketing from Cornell University. In Mr. Mason's extensive resort experiences, he has held several leadership positions in the British Virgin Islands, including Vice President of Hospitality for the BVI Chamber of Commerce and Hotel Association, Executive Team Member of the BVI Tourist Board, and Member of the BVI Minimum Wage Board. He serves as a member of the Turks and Caicos Hotel Association and Managing Director of Ocean Club Resorts. Mason's goal is to inspire team members to provide guests with personalized service of the highest caliber, from pre-arrival arrangements and guest experiences on and off property. He enjoys engaging with guests and work alongside staff to create truly unique experiences, as happy employees makes happy guests. Although I have shared Mr. Mason's bio, please take a moment to introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Good morning, Turks and Caicos. It's really a pleasure being here this morning, and I think this topic this morning is very timely, because as I think pre-COVID and now post-COVID, I mean, we're still actively in it, but I think it's a really good topic for us to talk about, because as business, if we are not on top of our employee retention or understanding how that affects our business, we are not going to survive.
Right, right. Okay, I love that. All right, Mr. Mason, we are going to dive right into today's topic because, like you said, it's very timely. Most persons refer to it as employee retention, but the theme is retaining top talent. Now, my first question for you this morning. Talent strategy seems to be a top line for many businesses. And we've seen a number of businesses being faced with difficult decisions to tighten and cut people expenses with the downturn in the economy to weather the COVID crisis. What are some of the things organizations, managers, supervisors should consider to reevaluate to keep the talent they need, or likely talented individuals staying longer than average?
Okay. Well, I'll first start with the way in which I conduct or manage business is following the four P's. And the four P's is product, okay. people, okay. process, and profitability.
I like that.
So if we are focusing on just cutting staff and cutting from the one of the key components of your business, which is the people aspect of it,
right,
to
right.
save our business, really, we're really not saving any money because
right, right.
What I think a lot of businesses are doing now is that it's the profit first and the people last.
Wow.
You cannot have a successful organization
wow.
if you're so solely on profit and your people is on the bottom tier of your triangle.
Mm. That's deep. I really, really like that. Profit first and people last.
Yeah.
That's very important. I hope persons are taking note. Get your pen and paper and take note of this because it's going to be very important because you have other organizations also vying for your key employees,
yeah.
right? So that's very important. My next question is, there are good employees who are looking to add value to the team. But they need to know what they need to do to make that happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
As expectations are not always shared across the organization on what's expected of them. And so share some advice on how can this be championed to make retention a priority.
You know, we go out and we hire great talents. We bring them into our organization. We don't necessarily have an onboarding process for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
we mm-hmm. don't necessarily give them the necessary training.
Right.
And we expect them to perform. For an employee, and the way in which you approach this is that you have to engage your employees. You have to give them the roadmap. There's a philosophy in this book called From Good to Great,
right.
where you get
book.
The right people on the bus,
mm-hmm.
and once you're on
mm-hmm.
the bus, you have to communicate to them that this is the direction where we're going. And a lot of times the employee, you hire them, but they're clueless as to where the company, what is the vision, where is it going. So it's bringing people on board and ensuring that they're fully aware of where the company is going and what are the objectives the company is going.
Right. And I like that you mentioned the onboarding part
mm-hmm.
of it because I really think that I wouldn't say we do a poor job on that perspective, but a lot of persons are placed in positions and don't understand the norm of the position because we either hire late in the game, and I always talk about this, where persons are not even given a job description,
yeah.
right? So it sounds like we're not hiring smart.
No, and that's one thing you need to do is to hire smart.
Mm-hmm.
You hire smart, you great employees, a great candidate walks into your office, oh, this is great for me, but what happens after that?
Right.
What system do you
right.
have in place strategically
right.
to ensure that this wonderful employee that you just hired is successful and they bring value to your organization.
Okay, that's very important. I'm happy to hear that there's a process to
yes.
follow
yes.
so that persons are successful because it's like, you know, and I don't like to always say we're setting persons up to fail, but that's almost the only thing left
yeah.
to say because we're not giving them the direction.
We do, and
yeah.
I think that's what we do. I think not intentionally, but because it's busy, so let's just hire this person, let's throw them in that position, and the persons there have really no clue as to how to perform their job.
Right.
And as managers sometimes, or business owners, we look at that employee, oh, why did we hire this person? It's a waste. But we did not provide
the basic
for that person
right.
to do his job properly.
Right. And then they go ghosting because they might be on a shift.
Yes.
And did not enjoy the experience because it was so fast.
Yes.
Right? That they don't show up the next day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To complete the assignment. Ooh, interesting. Employee retention has a huge impact on the company's bottom line. And high turnover rates result in loss of activities and additional expenses, such as recruiting and hiring and training and replacement. Oh my goodness, it's expensive, right? And a cost that you don't want to regularly observe. What are some points to consider for this?
You know, goes back to employees' engagement.
Mm-hmm.
How are we leading your organization? And how are you engaging your employee? I think one of the things that I think as managers and businesses, we do a very, very poor job of employee engagement.
Right.
Sometimes the manager only talks to this employee once per year
yeah.
during a rush appraisal process.
Yes.
And it's about, let's talk about how can we help you as an employee?
Right.
What are some things we can help in terms of your development? You know, it's strange that we have employees in particular position, they've been there for 10 plus years,
mm-hmm.
and there is no upward mobility for them.
Right,
because
right.
we as a company have not mm-hmm. gone back and have that conversation.
Right.
Or every once a year you have this rushed employee appraisal to make sure that some manager got their bonus.
Bonus or the, yeah.
But there's nothing beyond that.
Wow. and what would you say, does culture fit play a big role in that as
it
well?
Yes, it is. There's some, your company culture could either make you or break you.
Right.
Because, and with the whole retention, I mean, if you look into an organization and you see every month there are people resigning, or every 6 months you have four or five employees, this is a revolving door as an organization.
Right, right.
Someone
right.
needs to stop and ask themselves, what are we doing wrong as a company?
Right.
You know, so it's very important that we go back and have those conversations. What are we doing right as a company? And, you know, right now where things are, we get so busy that the main focus, if we go back to the people part of your organization. And
yes.
focus on people, mm-hmm. develop and mm-hmm. invest in people, you're going to see a difference.
Right.
Because, really, I'll tell you, there's a lot of companies, the only relationship they have with their employees is a check. And the check,
wow.
that particular check to the employee, the employee relationship with the employer is a check. This is my mortgage, this is my car payment. And that's it,
and
because
that's it.
The culture you've built, you've developed, is one that didn't encourage them to feel that they're part of your organization.
Right. And so because of that, retention is not a priority more than.
No, no.
Right?
We talk about we want to keep people on board. But we're doing the complete opposite to keep them on board. We're not doing
right.
anything. We don't have a system in place
right.
to ensure that people stay on board. For example, why someone who's a supervisor or manager, there has to be some strategic plan within your organization. This is how I'm going to make sure that Steve or June or
mm-hmm.
whatever it is get
mm-hmm.
to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And until we could develop that kind of strategy inside as to how we're going to deal with the employees, you're going to always see that revolving door of people leaving your organization.
Right, right. And I want us to talk to, when we're talking about employee retention, do you think that come with the whole package of compensation and benefits? You know, and the way the person might have been interviewed when they joined the company, in terms of under-promising and over-delivering.
Yeah, and, you know, again, as business owners and managers sometimes,
mm-hmm.
we, great interview, we promise this. When you get into the organization, you only get in that. And
right.
also, you know, we don't live up to our interview promises sometimes.
Right.
And.
Right.
But if we are able to, if you have a strategy and we have that onboarding strategy, onboarding is so important to the whole retention
yeah,
process.
Yeah.
Because if you get it right from the start, you're not going to have
yeah.
someone leaving you within 6 months.
Six
I mean,
months
I've
to a year.
Met, mm-hmm. Walk into businesses where an employee have just been there for a month, but they're looking.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, every time they see you,
yeah.
they're like, ma'am, do you know who's hiring?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's really important, and I like that you shared that, because a lot of our top talents are looking,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
seeking employment elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I want to talk now about not everyone understanding growth and development, right? And when I say that, it could be persons managing or supervising a
mm-hmm.
team, right? Talk to us about programs, initiatives that companies should consider to attract talent development and career pathing, like succession planning and all of that. That is not active.
Yeah, it's definitely not active at all. So you hire someone, or there's a particular supervisor or someone who's been there for a number of years, and that's what goes back to when you do your appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
You have
a
plan in place. Okay, this is. There's some objective
right,
for you
right,
as a.
Right.
If when you do your appraisal for your employees and they have objectives, you're not going to have people leaving, because you're going to work along with that employee to ensure that you achieve those objective. And what's the next plan? Where would you like to see yourself in 2-3 years? It may not be with your company, but at least we could help you get there. Mm-hmm. As employers, if we help develop our employees, you know, what's your career objective,
right,
and help them work towards those objectives, you get more loyalty.
Right.
They're not just going to walk out because you are personally invested in them. There are programs I know that we have where, for example, in hotels, with the hotel in the hotel industry, there is the American Educational Institute.
Mm-hmm,
there
mm-hmm.
are programs where you could constantly ensure that your employees are taking part in. There are online, lots of online resources, but you have to take that time out to say, we're going to do training.
I agree.
At the beginning of this year, I think if a company decide, hey, every year, every employee should have 80 hours, mm-hmm. 100 hours of training, use your difference in that organization. And it's not forced training. It's training that's necessary, to your for your development.
And employees want training,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for that roadmap.
Yes.
We don't engage in job shadowing. We don't engage in job rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I'm going to go on the limb to say if there's a paperwork perhaps that we need to submit to a government office and we have to prepare succession planning just for someone to perhaps stay within mm-hmm. that position, then you would see us perhaps pointing out an employee who could
mm-hmm.
be in that shadowing process just for the person to
But where do you go with that?
That's just where do you go with that?
It's just
paperwork.
Just paperwork. So it has to be active.
Right.
You know, we have to actively seek out employees who we can really develop.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times
mm-hmm.
the excuse that's been used is that, oh, I don't think they are ready for that. But when are they going to be ready
when?
If you're not
when?
Really
you know?
Putting in the time to do it?
Wow. I love where this conversation is going. So we really have to look at leadership skills development for team members because they're interested,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are times when I mentioned managers who may not see a person ready, right? But they are. And then they themselves don't understand it, and so persons are left behind not being able to
mm-hmm.
grow.
Yeah.
You know?
And at the point where managers and employees are not ready, sometimes
mm-hmm.
the manager themselves aren't ready.
Right.
Because they
right.
don't have the necessary skills,
they don't have the skills.
To help bring
yeah.
that person up to that
right.
level.
And so and when we talk about that, it's because they were not given that roadmap.
Yes.
Right? And so
yes.
sometimes some of us are given positions as leaders and managers that we're not even ready for.
Mm-hmm.
It could be favoritism as well, you know, and so because of that, the person has no idea how to lead,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And another thing we have is where you have people in positions, say managers, and they don't have the necessary right skill set.
Mm-hmm.
They have great talent, and they just don't know how to use it. Actually, sometimes you hire people who are really good at their job, and as a manager, you actually feel threatened.
Right.
Instead of
right.
giving that person
right.
the opportunity to grow, and mm-hmm. they feel threatened about it.
Right.
I
like that you said that because in a session that I had a few weeks ago, the person said, "My manager is already a manager, right? And I feel like I'm held back. What it is that you want from me, you know?" For me not to grow, you're keeping me back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to consider that you're already in the position,
mm-hmm.
right? And bring someone else up with you.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, I don't think a lot of you believe in bringing people along.
Mm-hmm.
To make your job easy as a manager, ensure that everyone around you, it's coming along with you.
Right.
That's progress within an organization. If I hire you, I'm going to look at you as a threat. Then I think I've probably made the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
I should have
mm-hmm.
got someone else who mm-hmm. I won't see as a threat. But an organization cannot continue to be successful if we are holding each other back in the organization from really making that contribution that
right,
they can make.
Right. Ooh, this is good conversation. I want to talk now about leadership gap and regular dialogue between leadership and employees are not often held, right? And it seems to be a big issues with a lot of organizations. And if you don't have a roadmap, if we don't have trust, if we don't have communication within leadership, this can make the critical differences between organization success and failures. What are some guiding principles to consider to overcome this hurdle?
Well, you know, there's a lot of businesses, they have all of these different levels.
Right.
And they have all these different level meetings. Yes, there is a time and place for that. But there is a huge gap or void of information or communication within the organization, although you have all of these different levels. We all have to be on the same page. We all have to understand the vision and how we get in there. Employees should know how, whether or not as a company we are failing, we are losing money, how are we doing. There are some companies only share with the employees per se, well, for example, their customer service scores or whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
But overall, everyone should know how we're doing as a company
and
what your role, how can you make a difference?
Right.
For me, one of my contributions, if we aren't quite making it, what can I do as a manager or as my department to ensure that we achieve in that goal?
Right. But why do you think that is happening, the open communication or the fear of sharing information with your team?
I think I see it a lot. I think, again, it goes back to people who feel very threatened and feeling that they're going to be exposed. I don't know what they think they're going to be exposed, but the more information you share with your team,
the better position
you're in.
Yeah.
So it's baffling sometimes as to how little information or the lack of communication across organization, and who suffers at the end? The employee and the customer suffers.
Yeah.
The line staff suffers because they have no idea as to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into some businesses and there's a small minor issue question that you ask, something I think a line staff should be able to resolve, but they have to get a supervisor, they have to get a manager, and it takes so much, you know, for you
red
to...
Red tape, I call it.
Yeah, so...
You know, and Mr. Mason, we like to talk so much about empowering employees, right? And we don't allow them to take ownership, you know, and to engage in higher strategic decisions made in you know, the organization. And so how are organization, how do they expect for goals or goal setting to take place when they are not allowing staff?
There's a new concept called creative problem solving. And you cannot have creative problem solving in an organization if there is not empowerment.
Right.
And so you have to first empower your employees. Let them make the decision. You know, recently, I think sometime last year, because of COVID, we wanted to get a box in the lobby. I talk about getting a box in the lobby to put the keys so we're not touching these keys when the guests come. We talked about it for a second, and the next day, a front desk employee came up with a brilliant idea. Actually, she made a box, and I went out, and I'm like, wow, look at someone who just basically being creative. I encourage that.
Right.
And what we have to do in our organization is allow people to, we not managers not always have all the answers, but allow people to bring their ideas, and not because you're not a manager or whatever it is, you can't bring an idea, but we have to get in that mindset that we have to encourage creativity, to Empower employees.
That is so
to make
important.
Those decisions.
I mean, we take the photos to say, you know, we're empowering you with perhaps just being in a photo with you, but that's not enough.
No.
You know, because when they walk away, you know, or even when you get into a conversation with them, everybody is complaining about not feeling empowered.
Yeah.
And you know?
You have to be able to make decisions, and I think the more you have to call your manager to resolve this or whatever it is, you as an employee, what am I bringing here?
Right.
You have students who have gone away and study, come back to their various countries, whatever it is, and they put them in position that they can't make any decision because the person on the top now see you as a threat, new person coming on the block. But we are holding back from really achieving that profitability that we can. Because our people, I'll keep going back to the people aspect, we aren't really investing, we aren't really focusing on the people part.
Right.
And if you focus on the people part, the empowerment will be there, and also the release of that creative problem solving will be within your company.
Right. Very interesting, very interesting. You are listening to Career Connection, powered by Flow with Melanie Smith. And my guest, Mr. Wilbert Mason from Ocean Club Resorts. We'll be right back after this break and a word.
Your safety and convenience are most important to us at Flow. That's why we provide many ways for you to keep your account connected, which now includes FastPay, the new convenient payment option on our website. No registration required. Or download the MyFlow app to pay anytime from anywhere on your smartphone or tablet. If you wish to pay your bill in person, feel free to visit any of our fully sanitized branches. Flow is committed to helping you stay connected. Let's do this together.
Welcome back to Career Connection. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, along with my guest, Mr. Wilbert Mason, and we're discussing retaining top talent. Mr. Mason, it is often said that we don't have shortage of people, but shortage of key skills. Do you feel this to be the case, that companies have difficulties acquiring people with certain aptitude and the need to master new skills to stay competitive and relevant?
You know, I think we use that sometimes as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And to we use it as a crutch because mm-hmm. we know exactly what we're doing
sometimes. What
sometime.
We're doing, yes.
You know, and I see it
and
quite a bit.
I want you to be honest with that.
And yeah. I see it quite a bit in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So you have someone, I'll use the hospitality industry for example. You have someone who have only worked, who have never really traveled, they've only worked in a particular, say let's use Turks and Caicos as an
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at the front desk or they're in culinary and a couple of positions of promotion came up and we've never really give it to them, right?
Right.
But we have not pulled that person aside and said, okay, I know you want to be an executive chef, or I know I want to be this. Let me put a program in place.
Right.
Let me send you to another property in, say, in Jamaica, or somewhere, so you could learn that and get that skill.
Right, right.
I think if we put the effort in ensuring that some of our employees who really want to excel. And if we do that, you'll see a turnaround. And, you know, a lot of times I'll go back to that whole discussion about this person is not ready for that position,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but they've been in that position for 10 years. I mean, I spoke with someone recently from another company who've been in a particular position for 12 years.
Wow.
And I said, well, where are you going next? Oh, I don't know, because my boss keeps saying that they have to put a plan in place. And it's been for years. We as employers, we as managers, whatever it is, we need to really pay attention to what we are doing within our organization.
Right, right.
Because people will leave because you haven't provided that framework or you don't have a strategy to ensure that those that's there are given the necessary training to get to the next level.
Right. So we can throw shortage of people out of the window, but shortage of key skills.
You know, you could, like, for example, in Turks and Caicos, you have to get new skills, people in and out from time to time. But I think we have talents here that
right
we can
here.
Develop.
Right here.
We can
right
develop.
Right.
You know, I've seen people where they're in a particular position for years, and all we need is to have a conversation with them.
I don't want to cut you across, but why do you think it's so difficult for organizations to even consider training for these particular employees?
You know, it's beside. I had my own opinion on that, but it's. I really hope that we wake up to realize that if we as an organization, as managers, whatever it is, we have to look in our organization to see what skill, what employee that we can develop for the next level.
And you mentioned the employee having 12 years in that particular position, and so that employee is interested.
They want to. I mean, I basically said to the person, I said, look, if you're waiting for 12 years for someone to give you a development plan to get to the next level and you want to get to the next level, probably this is time for you to start looking elsewhere.
Right.
Because a lot of time you're with an organization and they don't see you as valuable,
mm-hmm.
but you have
that
skill. You have to make that contribution.
Right.
It can be used elsewhere.
Right.
And look, right now, is the employee market because there's so many businesses looking for talents.
A lot of persons are looking
for talents.
Yes.
And employees now have an opportunity to pick and choose who they want to work with. And guess mm-hmm. what? They're going to go with the company who has the best program, not salary, the best program
the
in
best
place.
Program. Yeah. And I like that you said that, because my next question to you is, top talent is hungry and often looking for that goal because they want to achieve more, mm-hmm. right? And if there's no direction, no flexibility to share ideas and initiatives to support them, right, they will lose interest. And so employees today, again, they have more opportunities than ever before
yes.
for new jobs, mm-hmm. prospects, and to weigh their options. So if you have a bright star on your team, but there's no upward mobility within the department, what's the right thing to do for persons looking to contribute more, or the possibility of enticing them with new opportunities to stay and remain engaged?
It's a great question. You lead and engage.
Yeah.
Probably that particular person is at an area where you hire them, but they're interested in going to somewhere another department.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
they want to learn a new skill, or you have, it's the engagement part of it.
Right.
Because
right.
if you have someone there who, you know, they probably started at, say for example, the front desk, and they there is no other opportunity for them to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have you considered reservations? Or
right.
You have a liking for numbers. There's a account. So I'm just using a hotel
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's back to that
engagement.
Where do you want to go? If you're interested in my personal development, I'm sure going to be interested in how my contribution to the company.
Right.
When I worked in Marriott, when I just finished university, Marriott had a philosophy, I'll take care of my employees and my employees will take care of my business.
Right.
And you can see, I mean, across the board here, where you walk into some businesses and you know that there is no connection to the business.
Yeah. And I like that you said that, because if you take care of me,
mm-hmm.
then I will take care of you.
Yes.
And again, I wouldn't even feel as if it's yours,
mm-hmm.
right? I will treat it as if it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very, very, very important. Let's talk about state interviews, right? This is one of my favorites, and helping people to feel valued and glean into you know, what they would like to see happen in the organization that they're working for. We don't ask person what keeps you here, you know,
mm-hmm.
or what would cause you to look. We don't ask that.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on a resignation might have just arrived at my desk, and if it's one of your top talent, you would think about the fact that, you know, you would like to have it reverse.
Yeah.
Because it had happened to me before too, right? Like, by only after the resignation, then you will hear, why are you leaving, or why?
You know valuable.
You know, you only understand at that point, right? But, and so we focus a lot on exit interview when the employee would have already resigned. And so what's the best way to introduce state interviews to get to know more of persons and how they are feeling in the workplace?
Goes back to your onboarding strategies.
Mm-hmm.
If you're onboarding somebody, know, hey, every 6 months, every 4 months, we're going to do not just an official appraisal, but
right.
we're going to have, I want to know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Even in simple things as your monthly meetings or and another thing, before I go on to that, we don't engage in our staff. How often do some companies have staff meeting?
Yeah.
Department meeting. And when that meeting happens, it's a lot of stuff that you're not doing well as a company, you're not doing well. So if you take the time to talk to employees,
right.
ask where are you? I mean, you know, just a simple question is like, you know, Mel,
mm-hmm.
how are you doing this morning?
Right.
How's your family? How are things going with you? And you're not asking that question and walking, you're asking and you're going to listen. Yes, you have.
Yes.
Probably hundreds
mm-hmm.
of employees, but you can take the time and listen to your employees.
Mm. And I use that very often, even now in my business, because it's important to know where persons are. We focus on work all the time and not the social part of it,
mm-hmm.
or even did you mention asking about their family and how things are doing,
mm-hmm.
because you know, it's finance, it's emotional, it's social, just so many things to think about. And so there's no connection, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
More so when we are dealing with employees.
Yeah, it's just total disconnect sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think, I'm sorry to show the organization in the region that pay particular attention to it, but it's something that if you really want to feel like you have a really good organization. You engage.
Right.
You do that
right.
engagement.
Right. And what do you think about, let's say, the sex satisfaction survey practice?
You know, there are employees who do that 360, and, you know, you're finding out. The interesting thing about this is that the top managers get to see the results.
Right.
Okay? Not necessarily it's being shared with the line staff. But it's good, I think, if we could put a systems in place to ask, how am I doing as a manager?
Right.
And be evaluated. I think sometimes it forces people to be better at managing others.
That's so true.
You know, and if we don't have those kind of mechanism in place, you know, why should I care about you?
Care about you. Yep.
You know.
Tough.
And another thing with resignation, that particular time, sometimes you offered more money, you offered a different position. Mm-hmm. If you now see that I'm valuable, do you think that I'm going to continue to work with you when it took me 6 years for you to realize that I needed a raise and I needed another promotion? So all of that, we have to look at all of that.
That is so true.
You know, there are people resigning. There are people resigning. They don't have a job to go to.
I wanted to talk about that, right? Because they might have had an offer somewhere else, but a lot of people are leaving their employers without an option.
Yeah, because you get to a point where you just had enough. I can't make a difference.
Right.
And if I'm going to be in a toxic work environment, it's just best I am right now. I think COVID has brought a lot of thing a lot of reality to everyone. Terms of myself,
right.
In terms of what's going to make me happy tomorrow. I get COVID, whatever it is. I really want to stick with an employer or a company that's not really adding any value to my life?
Yeah, that's important. Wow.
Yeah.
And this topic is so broad. There's just so many things that you can talk about when it comes to employee retention. My next question for you is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Praise in crowds, reprimand in private. Share your thoughts on this for me.
More people can do that. Because I've gone to businesses and see where a supervisor is shouting at an employee because the employee did something wrong, whatever it is. I actually went to a restaurant once, and the person running the restaurant was actually shouting at the staff. I actually left the food that I ordered because I'm like, I can't support this.
Yeah.
In a human being, and we go back to that number two,
people aspect of it.
Praise people when you have the opportunity in public. Make them, and sometimes I always say, well, there's a saying that says, treat people the way you treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
But.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some of us who don't treat ourselves well.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't treat ourselves well,
we treat others the same. You know?
So, but for me, it's just it's very important that you praise people in public. And if there is something, opportunity, I always call it an opportunity for you to have a conversation. Hey, this is an opportunity for you to develop. I want to give you feedback. You could do it privately.
You could do it privately.
People are more appreciative of that. Than you going to and making sure that they're embarrassed in front of others. And that's a management style as well.
Yeah.
Because there's some people who think that, let me embarrass you so you could learn.
So you could learn, you know.
No.
And it's funny that you share that because honestly, I believe my husband might have been tired of me on the drive home because it happened this week, right? I went to an establishment and the manager was reprimanding the employee in front of the staff as well as me as the client. And I wanted to ask for my money back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was appalled. I couldn't believe it. So disappointed. And it was my first time at the establishment. And so that first impression for me was not impressive.
So do you think that employee is going to stay?
Your
employee is probably looking for a job.
The employee is probably looking for a job. And my first thought was, because I stayed there and, you know, was looking as an HR, right? And my first thought was, if you were to switch places with that employee, mm-hmm. would you be able to do the job, right? And because the place is so small and we know everybody, my first thought was no.
Yeah.
Because you're managing a business that you don't understand,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the employee would easily walk away. And that's what I saw. I saw so much frustration yeah. coming out of him,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we have to really change the way we deal with employees in public and, you know.
And if I just add this really fast, mm-hmm. There, because you don't deal with the employee right in the workplace, you're losing so much money
yeah.
because they're mm-hmm. not really interested in helping the customer with the, going that extra mile.
Yeah.
And when it's you close at 5, and at 4:30, everyone has their bag. They're ready. They switched off.
Some are, you know, they get off 5 o'clock. They're
yeah.
leaving at 4:59. You know,
no.
they don't even want to give you a minute
precisely,
more. Than
precisely, you engage your employee.
Yeah.
You ensure that they feel that they're part of the
mm-hmm,
company,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see them stay and help someone beyond 5, because they feel that they're part
That's
of an organization.
Right. Amazing. All right, we're going to talk now about rewards and recognition. And there are some things to consider and to keep competitors from wowing away your most gifted employees. What are some reward mechanisms best offered, right, to help employees achieve their results?
You know, I'll go back to their personal development
mm-hmm.
Training. Yeah, salary, some you could say salary helps whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
but not all the time.
Right.
It's
right.
more for the personal development that people are interested in. You helping me to get, what are your career aspirations?
Right, right.
And
right.
I think if you focus on that aspect of it, and every
mm-hmm.
now and again,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a seminar, you want to send someone just to get the different
right,
exposure.
Right, right.
Stay,
right.
you have to stay current.
Mm-hmm.
Shop and stay current. What encourage if there is a facility, if there is areas where you think, okay, this engineering person could learn from this, set up that seminar, set up that training. You always have to ensure that your employees are current, you invest in the employee and continue to engage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it.
Mm-hmm.
This whole retention thing, it goes back to one simple fact. Of engagement,
right.
employee engagement.
Right. It is often said that employees don't leave companies, they
mm-hmm.
leave bad bosses, perhaps 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
But my belief is perhaps it's poor culture. If some employees still leave good managers.
Mm-hmm.
And so share your thoughts with this.
Well, there are great managers within that organization that has very, very poor culture.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, the employee loved my manager. I really love my manager, but because of the company culture, I can't go on.
You can't go on.
You know,
yeah.
so it's just, yes, we leave for different reason,
mm-hmm.
but if the overall company culture is not great, you know, you're not going to stay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh, interesting. If you're just joining us, you have missed half of today's program, Career Connection, powered by Flow, with your host, Melanie Smith, and my guest, Mr. Wilbert Mason. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue to explore the options on what it takes to retain your best and brightest talents. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Imagine you have Hollywood at your command. Introducing Flow Evil.
Red cheese, gold rings, all black, everything creeping through the night.
Anywhere you are.
Big girls don't scream, heart like Halloween, make me feel alive.
There's a world of entertainment here, and you run the show. Flow Evil.
This is Career Connection, powered by Flow, with your host, Melanie Smith, and my guest, Mr. Wilbert Mason. We are talking about retaining top talent. Mr. Mason, we've touched earlier on turnovers, and people often think that turnovers is negative, but there are some situations where it's a good thing. And
oh,
I
yes.
know my HR professionals listening will agree with me, as some hires are not always ideal,
yeah.
right? And so when does turnover have a positive impact on the organization?
No, when you have employees that you know once probably inherited that particular employee,
right.
Or you say to yourself, you know what, I think I really, I made a bad hire here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And letting them go, it sometimes is the best thing for the organization,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you have people mm-hmm. who have been with you for a number of years,
right.
and you've put all the necessary systems and training in place, but it's just not given.
Right.
And in that time, when they leave the organization, sometimes you just feel happy that
you
okay,
feel happy.
You know,
good riddance. Thank
when
God.
When they resign, you hope that HR isn't going to ask them to stay.
Right.
But that's just part of life,
right,
you know.
Right. I just wanted to get that out there,
yes.
so persons understand that. You know, some employees that you hire don't always share the same
yeah.
values
yeah.
as you do. They're not always ideal for
just
the position,
the wrong fit.
And they were just the wrong fit.
Yes.
And so, you know, I wanted persons to understand that turnover does have a positive effect when we think it's only negative, right? I want to mention the millennials for a quick second because I know we're running out of time. And so millennials often voice that we have some outdated approaches and to attracting and retaining talent, from hairstyles to nail polish, and not clear on why they are not permitted to be themselves,
right?
And it's often shared from the inside out. Employees are telling them, you know, what's happening in the organization. How are you able to reinforce the value internally with your staff in order for the new ones to make that change?
Well, I think, again, this is where it goes back to the whole onboarding process
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the company culture.
Right.
How are you? Is that consistent across the board? I think if it's consistent across the board, when someone new comes in, they realize, okay, this is part of the company culture.
Right.
For example, I mean, years gone by, you know, you didn't want someone show up at their front desk with blonde hair and and every other day is a different color. Or,
right.
But we've gotten to a place now where the whole appearance is important,
mm-hmm.
but you have
mm-hmm.
to manage it. But if you have a really good company culture.
Okay.
That helps.
Okay. All right. That was important because I know, you know, they often, especially in my role as recruiting, that I've heard it so many times that our process is outdated and we
yeah.
need to, you know, come up to the time.
Yeah.
All right. I want to now mention, you know, perhaps this is a few more questions. During the recruiting process, how could you identify whether candidates share the same value as the organization and that they will actually fit within the culture?
Well, it's good to have those questions, role plays,
mm-hmm.
give them scenarios and see how they deal with some of those
right.
scenarios, and also just share, ask for previous experience on
okay.
how they've dealt with certain situations in the past.
Okay, wonderful. And in your line of experience, share with us how to help managers, supervisors, explore their options for staying up to date
mm-hmm.
with what companies are offering so that they can keep their best workers happy and motivated.
Well, that's continuous. I call it continuous improvement.
Okay.
Are you reading? Are you checking on what your competition are doing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at internationally what is happening? Because a lot of times we, in the Caribbean, we stay so focused on where we are.
Right.
We don't
right.
We don't read enough in terms of what's happening and what's changing in the industry. So I think it's really staying on top and staying abreast and staying sharp.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are running out of time, but I want to mention, right, the resort loss of
mm-hmm.
one of your top agent of change in the person
mm-hmm.
of Mrs. Sonia Yoing. Wish her and her family, as well as the Ocean Club team, our sincerest condolences. And I'm certain that she's left a legacy that can be built on for many others coming after her. You can take this time now to share.
Sonia's loss was a great loss for
mm-hmm.
us. And, you know, on a day up to the yesterday, I actually called her name,
mm-hmm.
you know, referring
mm-hmm.
to something. But, you know, is that when I see people like Sonia, who have done so much
right.
and was so committed, and this is what creating an environment where you're giving people the opportunity to excel
right.
and to be the great, whatever greatness they have, to be that great leader. And we will continue to ensure that her legacy lives on and work with our other managers to make sure that we bring people up to a place where this is where they want to be and lead.
Right, because she's really been an agent of change.
She has been. In so many ways, you know, there's I mentioned that she lived, laughed, loved, and left a legacy. I mean, and so that's one of the things that I hope that as owners, as managers, we adopt that principle of learning to live, love, and leave a legacy. And as you live and love, go back to the people aspect of things, because Sony was all about the people and the product, and in making sure that those two things are part of the success.
Wonderful.
And I think once we're able to get that, then the profitability comes in. You know, I always say on a daily basis, you know, may Sony rest in peace. Our contribution to Ocean Club, our contribution to Turks and Caicos has been tremendous.
Thank you so much for that. We are flowing with Flow on RTC 89.1 FM with my guest, Mr. Mason, and your host, Melanie Smith. If you would like to learn more about Career Connection or have a story that you would like to share about your career journey, we would love to interview you. Feel free to contact me at careerconnection.tc@gmail.com. That's careerconnection.tc@gmail.com. This has been Career Connection powered by Flow on 89.1 FM. Special thanks to RTC and Grand Turk and Provo and Flow TCI. And to my esteemed guest, Mr. Mason Wilbert Mason. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
For sharing on this topic today. I really appreciate that. I'm having difficulties with your name this morning. I'm Melanie Smith. Join me again on Thursday morning on Radio Turks and Caicos at 9 a.m. Follow RTC and Flow Facebook pages. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Melanie Smith or Turks and Caicos Recruitment Group. As we wrap up today's discussion, if you are experiencing talent challenges in your levels of leadership, I want to leave with you these five P's. They're a bit different from Mr. Mason, but they're all sending the same message. People follow you because they have to. That's your position. People follow you because they want to, that's permission. People follow you because of what you have done for the organization, that's production. People follow you because of what you have done for them, that's people development. People follow you because of who you are and what you represent, and that's your pinnacle, where you reach to your highest point. Until next Thursday, make that connection today.